The epistle today, the 32nd chapter of Exodus, can rightly be called the account of the original sin of Israel. This is how the majority of the fathers read this passage, and you can find their doctrine admirably summed up in the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas. It contains a passage which is to us truly humorous in its irony, when the Lord, who has been up until now speaking only of how he will deliver his people, he said, "I've heard my people cry, I've heard my people suffering, I will deliver my people from the hand of the Egyptians." But now, while he has been giving the law to Moses, and the people, meanwhile, under Aaron's instigation, have been making to themselves a molten calf to worship, the Lord says instead to Moses, "Go down from the mountain, thy people have sinned." This makes perfect sense if you consider this passage the way the fathers do, as the original sin of Israel. It is almost as though the Lord, in just retribution for the sin of man, harkens back to those most insolent words of Adam at his rebellion, when he protested to God in explaining his sin by saying, "The woman whom thou gavest me to be my companion, she gave me the fruit." This is understood as the original sin of Israel because for our fathers, and in the teaching of St. Thomas, what follows now is a punishment. And this explains why St. Paul always describes the law of Moses as the law of bondage. Our Lord himself makes reference to this today. For in defending the fact that he heals men on the Sabbath, he makes appeal to the circumcision, specifying that circumcision does not come from the law of Moses. It actually precedes the law of Moses. It is the law of Abraham. His argument is that if this was permitted, this practice of the ancient fathers, the patriarchs, if this was permitted to be done on the Sabbath, why would it be denied our Lord to heal the whole man on the Sabbath? Our Lord has told us that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill. But it is only if we understand this passage of Exodus the way the fathers do that we can fully comprehend our Lord's meaning. For indeed, the law of Moses will pass away. And yet our Lord speaks the truth when he says he has come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Our Lord has come to restore the true law. And the understanding of the fathers here is that if, although that is one big if the Hebrew people had not at this moment fallen into idolatry, Moses would have come down from the mountain with all that the Lord had given him up to this point, that is to say, with the Ten Commandments. And the Hebrew people would have continued with the priesthood they already knew of, the priesthood of firstborn, whereby the firstborn son was the head of the household and the chief of all matters religious. Because of their idolatry, they would now be given a new law, a law of penance and a law of bondage. To the Ten Commandments would be added many hundreds of others, in order to bring knowledge of sin, as St. Paul says, and to turn them away from idols. This is the law, then, that will endure until the coming of the Christ. And it is very important that our Lord makes reference to circumcision here when he defends what he does, because he is making appeal to that original law which will now be restored, the priesthood of firstborn. because our Lord is not of the priestly caste. He is not of the tribe of Levi, this priesthood that was instituted as part of this law of bondage. No, our Lord, it is a descendant of David and of Judah. He is part of that priesthood of firstborn, the one true priesthood of Melchizedek. That is the priesthood which will now be restored and brought to its completion with the true sacrifice of the Mass, the renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary. And our Lord, making appeal to circumcision as something that preceded the law of Moses, once again, he does so in order to show that he is fulfilling this as well, because he tells us now that he comes to heal the whole man on the Sabbath. That is to say, no longer will man submit even to this rite, which preceded Moses, but which nevertheless did not confer grace. No, now all the Gentiles shall be welcomed into the kingdom, and the circumcision of the new law will be not a putting away of the flesh, as St. Paul says, but rather a cleansing of the whole man, body and soul, through the sacrament of baptism. This is what our Lord has come to put into place. The law of the fathers, forgotten, as it were, during the time of bondage under the law of Moses, from which all are now delivered to embrace the true law of love and of mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.